Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
Happy almost New Year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Christmas festivities are still going on and stuff like that, so Merry Christmas, too.
It's the land that time forgot.
Yes.
Between Christmas and New Year's.
No one knows what day it is, what time it is.
Yeah. Just eating and drinking and having a good time.
Yesterday we had cookies for breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is the time between.
And cake for lunch.
It's true, we did. So instead of looking back at 2020, like a lot of episodes are going to be doing, you know, but who really wants to be remembering 2020 very much?
Well, we'll do a little bit of
that.
We'll
do a little bit.
A little bit.
But our plan was that we talked about last episode was we were going to talk about live action remakes of animated Disney movies.
Mm-hmm.
However, we're still talking about season 2 of Mandalorian.
Well, I'm still reeling from Mandalorian.
Right?
And so I begged you nicely so we could talk about it for this episode.
We postponed our live action chat till the new year sometime.
Give us a little more time to watch them.
Exactly.
As well.
Finish those up so we're not cramming them. And instead, we get to talk about the Mandalorian. So be aware, serious spoilers ahead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Definite spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
So consider yourself warned. Before we get to that, though, Brandon, what kind of nerd thing are you into this week?
Well, I mean, other than all the Christmas baking and, and stuff like that, we did just get back just before Christmas there from a little ski trip.
Yep.
And that's one of the nerd things that I'm doing this winter is trying to get out on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully my legs can hold up to the strain.
For me, I'm in full Christmas season. My nerd thing, I don't know if you follow us on social media, but if you did, you probably saw. We had our annual viewing of Muppet's Christmas Carol was in our hot tub with a screen that Brandon rigged up with a projector and everything. So we got to do a swim-in movie for Christmas Eve.
That was lovely.
It was lovely, yeah. Christmas was very different for us this year than usual, and so we got to kind of try doing some different things to celebrate. It was nice. Very nice.
Nice.
Yeah. And my other question before we get too far here is, what are you drinking today?
Well, we're both drinking the same.
We are.
The same thing today.
Yeah.
We're recording in the morning, so we're doing the socially accepted thing.
Yes.
Of drinking mimosas.
Yes.
if you're drinking before noon, it has to be mimosas.
Or Caesar.
Bailey's in your coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a Caesar. Mm-hmm. That's very Canadian.
That is very Canadian. Yeah. But I don't like Caesars. I do like mimosas.
Ah.
So yes, that is what we are having.
So very delicious.
I think we should cheers.
Clink.
Clink. That made it better than the clink.
Delicious.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that we usually talk about before we get to the news is Mandalorian Minute.
Well, that's over now.
But that's over. However, I do want to mention there are 18 days after the release of this until WandaVision.
Oh,
so maybe
excellent.
We need to change it to the Marvel Minute instead.
Okay. Well, it's a countdown now.
Yeah, so we've got a countdown to WandaVision 18 days away.
Disney A News Update.
Alrighty.
So the big news for us is this is our last episode of 2020.
Yep, that's right.
What a year it has been.
Right?
For all the wrong reasons, but yeah, so a few things that happened this year, Disney-wise, there were some big delayed releases, like the whole slate of Marvel movies just simply did not come out.
Right.
There was a whole bunch of trailers coming out for Black Widow.
Oh yeah, that was like days away.
It was days away, and it...
Yep.
Onward had come out in theaters, but
barely.
It was in there for like a week, and then they shortly released it on Disney Plus shortly after that. So, yeah, it was kind of an interesting time for that. They debuted Mulan as a premium streaming thing on Disney Plus as like an experiment. We still have yet to see that.
Yeah, that was going to be this weekend, but we'll move it.
We'll get there. Mm-hmm. We'll get there, yep.
We had to watch something else instead.
Yeah, so, and yesterday, Christmas Day, we watched Soul.
Right.
Came out that day. So.
Yes.
Isn't that very
nice?
That's
right. Yeah. And did you like it?
I did. Yeah. It's not my favorite Pixar movie
ever,
but it's really well done.
Yeah.
And it's nice.
Yeah. I really liked that one too. Yeah.
Yep. And of course, the big release for Disney of 2020 was Mandalorian, which we're going to be talking about all today. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the other thing that was a big Disney Plus thing was, of course, Hamilton in the summer.
Oh, that's true. I kind of forgot that that was this year. Mm-hmm. It seems like so long ago now. And we've seen it so many times since then. That's a good point.
Well, we crammed a year's worth of viewing in like a few months.
Basically,
so, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was a big one too.
Any other big things from 2020 that you remember? Or,
well,
or
like, are we talking positive things?
Trying to block it from your mind.
Well, I mean, the big thing was obviously the parks closing and reopening and partially opening and then closing. And yeah, just that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So nothing fabulous. I did look up, though, everything that's supposed to be slated now for 2021. And it's like they moved everything from 2020 and added it in. So I'm like, there's going to be a lot.
There's going to be a little bit overlap. I'm sure they pushed a little bit out.
I think so.
Just production-wise, they couldn't make stuff for a while. But yeah, it's going to be a busy year.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't like saturate at some point.
Ah,
Disney can do it.
That's silly. That's silly talk. If it's good, it's good.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Yeah.
There is one positive news, actual news that I have.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at the Disney Parks blog, and they had a special Christmas Day celebration news item.
Right.
They unveiled a new video for one of their new cruise ships.
Oh.
Cruising has been hit particularly hard by COVID in 2020.
Yeah.
So I was interested to see that they are still making cruise ships. And
they're
this,
not just like,
they're
we're
just giving up.
About
yeah.
Cruises,
so
yeah.
This is the Disney Wish.
Okay.
It's called, and it's going to be kind of Cinderella themed. The main room is going to have this big Cinderella statue, and they had the fairy godmother Bibbidi Bobbidi booing in the video kind of thing. And this is the first of three new ships through 2025. And all three are going to be powered by liquefied natural gas.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Kind of interesting. And they're going to be 1,250 guest rooms, which is slightly larger than the Disney Dream and Disney Fantasy, the sister ships that were the previous biggest in their fleet.
Right.
So they're going a little bigger, and it's supposed to set sail in summer of 2022.
That is fairly optimistic to have the cruising industry like ready to, but
ready
I mean,
to go. Well, things are looking optimistic for 2021. So,
Well, I was just looking at the official Disney releases and stuff like that, and they have that Disneyland, which is of course our home park in another country. They have them just listed as reopening in spring, so they haven't had any information about reopening. So even just having a season up there is better than what we've had so far.
Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah, I think so,
like,
too.
Vaccines are starting to go.
Yeah. So, looking forward to 2021, I think this might be the first New Year's that I think everyone is like, man, the last year sucked. Everyone's always so positive about New Year's. I think this is the first one that, like, everyone is just like, let's go.
Well, yeah. Can't get much worse. Wait, I shouldn't say that.
Why would you say that? There are still days left of 2020. What are you doing? So speaking of 2021, there's a whole lot of movies coming out and shows and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other big news for 2020 was like the investors call they just had where they had all these announcements.
Mm-hmm.
So just while you were still talking New Year and stuff like that, what are you kind of most looking forward to Disney-wise in 2021?
Well, I mean, there is so much coming.
Yeah.
We're not entirely sure all of what's coming in 2021.
Well, projected for right now, what's still listed as 2021.
2021. Yeah. Well, definitely for me, it's probably going to be the Loki show.
Yeah.
I'm definitely looking forward to what they're doing with that. It looks very fun
really
and
cool.
Postmodern and different. Mm-hmm. So I'm super looking forward to that one.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's exactly what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah. And, of course, more Star Wars.
Right.
And all that, too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, if everything comes out, it'll be a lot of fun to watch. I said I'm going to need to start writing this stuff on a calendar because there's so much stuff coming up. For me, there's 18 days left till WandaVision.
Yeah.
That's my exciting
thing.
That
looks pretty exciting,
and
too.
And then I'm also very, very excited for Loki. And,
excellent.
Cool. And hopefully, things get better and we can take our postponed trip.
Well, yes, that would be nice if we could actually put some travel into the travel podcast.
Right?
Would be nice.
Yep. Looking forward to 2021. Fingers crossed.
Cool.
Yeah. I think that brings us to our main topic.
Disney Plus and chill.
Okay. Season 2 Mandalorian.
Yep.
First of all, before we start going kind of chapter by chapter.
Chapter by chapter. Episode by episode.
Right?
Yep.
Let's, what did you think of the season as a whole?
I thought it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The last season it was kind of introducing us to this world and kind of like rebooting Star Wars as a different kind of thing,
right?
As a episodic content, which had never been done before for Star Wars,
not live action anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. Yeah, you know what
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
It had a lot of kind of unrelated episodes, seemingly, and that may have been a criticism of it.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of had these weird little side questy things right. going on. That,
which I actually think worked well for what they were trying to do, yeah. but I don't know that everyone got that.
Yeah, it was fine, but I think this season was more cohesive,
mm-hmm.
And it had a lot going on, both for your hardcore Star Wars fan and your casual Star Wars fan.
Right.
I think it was fun. So, yeah.
My biggest thing about all of Mandalorian, which I know I said when we talked about season one, is the way it is able to walk this like super difficult, precarious line between like really hardcore fans and complete novices to anything. Like, you have people who've read every book, who've watched every show, who like all every single piece of it. And then you have people who are like, I heard about Baby Yoda, I want to watch this show. And then you have a bunch of people in between. And the thing Mandalorian has been able to do, and I don't know how, is like make everyone happy.
Yeah, like pretty much everybody.
Pretty close to yeah. everybody happy. I mean,
as close as you can get.
Exactly. Like, I shouldn't say obviously everyone, right? The internet exists. But something for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it touches on a lot of the deep cuts, but even if you don't get it, you can still really enjoy the show.
Mm.
Yeah.
Your mind can fill in the blanks like the original Star Wars set it up to be. Yeah,
that's so hard to do, and it does it really well. And I think this season did it even better. Okay, so you want to start talking chapter by chapter?
Yeah, let's just do a little brief chat about each episode.
Sure.
Of course, again, spoiler warning.
Serious spoiler warning.
We're not going to hold anything back.
No.
So,
no.
Yeah.
Pause and go watch if you haven't gone to watch yet.
Yeah, I mean, there's only 8 episodes. It's
yeah.
pretty quick.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're not doing anything. It's still the holidays.
Yeah, time is inconsequential right now anyway. Okay, so chapter 9 is called The Marshal. And we left season 1 with this like big reveal moment. Moff Gideon, Dark Saber, you know, this big battle. We know he's alive. Mando thinks he's dead. And then we've waited a year and we're introduced to The Marshal. Jon Favreau directed this one.
Yeah, which is the first episode he's actually directed.
Right?
He didn't. I was surprised to find that he didn't direct any episodes in the first
right.
season.
Right, I mean, he...
He created the show,
yeah.
and he helped everybody, and it was like kind of him and Dave doing this whole mm-hmm. thing with the guest directors, but he didn't actually have a directing credit in the first
right.
season.
Yeah, I'm sure he did some directorial work.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just who gets the credit, mm-hmm. and this was the first one where he was listed as the director. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Super Wild Westy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got your Wild West town, and you got mm-hmm. the natives,
yeah.
sand people coming in, and
yeah.
it's like just quintessential Western.
Super, like, but the first episode of season 1 was quintessential Western, mm-hmm. too. Dude learned to ride a blurg instead of a horse. Like,
yeah.
you had all these moments
yeah,
that are just...
Exactly.
But instead of, we're going to have this band of warring, I don't know, natives, or depending on mm-hmm. what type of Western you're watching, they have Tusken Raiders instead.
Yeah.
Because we're on Tatooine.
Of course.
Yeah.
And you got your town sheriff,
yep.
and he's gonna come and save the day.
He's
and
literally called the Marshal.
Yeah. It's great, and like the special effects in this episode.
Oh my gosh.
First time seeing a crate dragon.
There we go, yep.
In live action. Just amazing. It was great.
Yeah, it was interesting because you kind of, like, looking back when you see that this is the first one that Jon Favreau did, you're like, wow, it's surprising that he didn't go big picture, especially having just left off with season 1 and everything like that. This was a more serialized one.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just really cool, and
yeah,
the crate dragon was very cool.
It was a good standalone episode,
mm-hmm.
but there was little nuggets in there
yes.
that are setting up the rest of the season. You got
yep.
Boba Fett's armor, of course,
yes.
being the big one. But the other thing is you're starting to see Mando kind of bending his rules a little bit,
yep.
and he actually begrudgingly accepts Cobb Vanth as, like, a cool dude, and even when he thinks he's not going to survive the battle, he's like, can you look after
right.
the child? And this is quite a big switch from him, because, like, this guy, he's not a Mandalorian, he's wearing Mandalorian armor. He, like, previously he would have just killed him as soon as looked at him.
Yep, totally. But here he's willing to make a deal, and he's willing because he wants to further his quest to look for actual Mandalorians. We get to see Pelly again. We get to see the callback to how he now accepts droids, because you have the droids working on a ship, because, of course, the Razor Crest is always in trouble. It was really fun to be back in the world again after a year, and it just, the Krayt Dragon was freaking cool.
Yes, and again, back to the deep cuts after they end up killing the Krayt Dragon and they pull out the big pearl.
Yeah,
it's a nice throwback to Knights of the Old Republic when you go on a quest to kill a Krayt Dragon to retrieve the pearl. It's like part of the story, and
cool.
Yeah, super deep cut, but
I like that, though, that they do that. I mean, I don't know that, but I like it that they do that, You liked Chapter 9.
Yes, it was excellent. A great first episode of the season.
We were super excited about it. And then we got to Chapter 10, which is The Passenger. This was directed by Peyton Reed, who also did the Ant-Man movies.
Yes, and also the last episode of the season. Yes, he's one of the double directors.
This one... What did you think?
Well, so yeah, this episode has some problems. It's definitely the worst episode of the season. I'm giving a spoiler to my least favorite already. Fair. But yeah, it's probably the worst episode in the whole series. It's has all the problems of the side quest episodes, but it's not even a whole episode itself. Like, it's half a side quest. Nothing much really happens, and you have a base Cave Nopes attacking. And
Nopes.
Some random X-Wings show up to save the day, and then and you continue on. Like, nothing, it feels half-finished, and it doesn't work. It does not work for me.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about the positives here, but I actually do agree.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, Space Cave Nopes is an awesome title, and that is what they are now called. Okay. Here are my positives about this episode, because the fact that I had to find positives tells you what I think about this episode. I do like that there's this theme of parenthood.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're like trying, but it felt super like we're trying to make this work. But you've got, of course, Mando and the child. You have Frog Lady and the eggs. And then you have Giant Cave Nope. Giant Space Cave Nope.
Mummy Cave Nope.
And all the alien-esque egg mini Cave Nopes. Right, so you have this theme. I like that it references the Prisoner episode from season one at the end there, and that was the first time you got a callback to one of the, it seemed like one of the side quests. Well, it was one of the side quest episodes of season one, when you're like, oh, cool, okay, well, they're tying stuff back. It's not just like we did this one thing and now we're never going to talk about it again. So I did like that. I like Pelly, and so I thought it was cool that we got to see her again, even though she's only in there for like a couple minutes at the beginning.
And Dr. Mandible is pretty cool, too.
Dr. Mandible is very cool. Yeah, I'll give you that one. I think it's the first time we've heard May the Force Be With You on the show.
That's true. Yeah.
And I like... They tried to do some cool stuff with the child this season, it felt like, and last season, where... Okay, he's adorable, and we get this idea, like, he's one of the good guys, because we're, like, rooting for him. He's a child, and he, like, eats Frog Lady's eggs, and...
He doesn't really know what's right from wrong, like...
But he is... It's interesting, because there's a couple moments where he does something that would technically not be the right thing to do, because his lines are very different. He's a child, and his alliance is basically to Mando and, like, his stomach. That's pretty much it.
Like,
and
most even, children.
Yeah, exactly. And even in season one, when Cara Dune and Mando are arm wrestling, I think is what they're doing. Yeah, arm wrestling, and then he gets worried and he starts to force choke Cara Dune. And he's just like, oh, my only line is don't mess with him, basically. Yeah. And again, you see this thing where he's like, his only line is he sees Frog Lady eggs, he wants them, they are tasty, and so he's going to eat them. Here's my positive. I thought it was hilarious how the internet freaked out.
Yeah, it was kind of funny.
And it's like, it is a fictional character.
I think personally they need to lean into it and have some Frog Lady egg snacks in Batuu.
I like it. Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was really funny that everyone thought it was kind of gross, but absolutely hilarious when he's walking around with like frog legs sticking out of his mouth. Yeah. But when it's frog eggs,
Frog Lady eggs.
Yes, freaking out.
Like, frog is fine, but anthropomorphized alien frog, that's a big no-no. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, so anyway, I thought my positive to this was I thought that was hilarious. And also, I really liked that frog lady when they're running from the giant space cave nopes, like, hopped like a frog.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was cool.
It was probably, like, one of the most alien forms of mobility you've seen in Star Wars.
It isn't
Wars,
just
like,
a human running like a human in a frog mask. It was an actual different way of movement. It had cool elements, and it just didn't work altogether.
It just wasn't a complete story, and it didn't work. And we've probably talked about it enough.
You know, I find that the ones that I'm like, I end up trying to, like, excuse.
No.
Okay, but that brings us to Chapter 11, which is The Heiress. And this one was directed by Bryce Dallas Howard, who directed in Season 1 as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The AT-ST episode.
Yes, which, Sanctuary, which I really liked the second time viewing it.
I liked it more the second time. A lot of people thought that was the worst episode of the first season.
Yeah.
I also disagree, obviously, because
that's not the one you picked.
That's not the one I picked, but yeah.
Me neither. That one did improve upon second viewing, though.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. This one, you don't need a second viewing for it to improve.
This one was pretty sweet.
Yep.
You get to go to this aquatic planet,
which was very cool.
And it's been colonized by the two races that live on Mon Cala, which is a very aquatic planet. So it kind of fit in. It's like how they would kind of pick their planets based on the climate and everything.
Right.
I did really like the fact that Mando was led into a trap by a Mon Calamari.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious.
My favorite part, of course, we have Bo-Katan, and who is played by Katie Sackhoff, who actually did her voice in the Clone Wars and the Rebels, which was, like, really cool that they stayed true to that.
It's nice that they were able to get that in there. And I thought this was a good treading the line between the hardcore and casual. Like, you don't have to know who she is. She's just a cool Mandalorian that kicks butt.
Right, totally.
So it doesn't matter. If you've seen her before, then you get excited about that. If you haven't, whatever.
Yeah, we haven't seen Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I have a student I always talk about Mando with, and is a huge Rebels fan, was very, very excited about this. And I was like, I don't know, she's like a cool Mandalorian who kicks butt, and it was this exciting moment. And yeah, so that was really neat. It connects to the larger story, but it can still stand on its own. And I think if you watch this immediately after the last episode, it would improve the last episode.
They're very connected, the two episodes, and episode 3 is all payoff.
Right.
So it works better.
Yeah, exactly. We get directed to Ahsoka Tano, which is, of course, the big moment of here. Where
big name drop,
big one there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also this discussion about, like, he finally sees these Mandalorians, and they take off their helmets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the Marshal who takes off his helmet right away, who's not a Mandalorian just wearing the armor. This is like, these guys are actually Mandalorians. And they say, oh, like, you're one of those guys who don't take it. So all of a sudden, it's not all Mandalorians. It's like, one sect. Like, yeah, exactly.
I was lied to maybe a little bit.
Exactly.
Or, like, kind of existential crisis going on, definitely.
So in other words, it comes back to this idea of things just aren't black and white. There's a whole lot of dubious gray morality stuff going on in there.
You got to figure out what's important to you.
Exactly. There's figure out which lines you're going to cross and which lines you're not going to cross. So basically, they paint him as the people who don't, or the Mandalorians who don't take off their helmet, as kind of being like religious zealots.
Yeah.
Basically. And so it's like, oh, there's more than one way to look at things.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, they come back to again and again this season.
And plus, there's some cool action.
Seriously cool action.
But yeah, you shoot up a bunch of stormtroopers and have a good time.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good one. Chapter 12, The Siege, director Carl Weathers. And this is the one that they had to announce, we are not seeing Ahsoka Tano.
Yeah, that was the big thing. They have the name drop, and they had to come out online and just, like, manage expectations. But the episode itself is great. Like,
fantastic.
I don't think there was any disappointment delaying that.
No.
At all. It's a very action-heavy episode again.
We're back on Navarro.
Navarro, yes, and we meet back up with Griff Karga and Cara Dune, and they get their little reunion with Baby Yoda and Mando, and then they go on another side quest, which is fine. It actually ties in better to the main story. You're finding out certain things, and they shoot up a bunch more stormtroopers.
Exactly. Oh, we get to see Mithral again. Is that how you pronounce his name? Mithral? Let's say that's how you pronounce his name. Dude from the first episode.
Blue Zoidberg.
Yeah, Blue Zoidberg from the first episode. You get to see Baby Yoda being ridiculously cute.
Yeah. Yeah, he got his macarons.
Yeah, he got bright blue, and that's the other thing they need to sell in Batu.
Yes, well, I think that's gonna happen.
They might already be doing that. Well, yeah. Obviously not in Disneyland, but yeah. Is this the first time this season we see him doing the magic hand thing?
Yeah, he doesn't do a whole heck of a lot in the first episode.
Yeah, he hides in a spittoon in the one, and yeah. So that was fun. Really cool fight scene. There were many fight scenes.
So the stuff in the base, I think, got a little repetitive.
Yeah.
Just kind of shooting down corridors at stormtroopers. We've seen that.
Yeah.
It kind of saves on budget a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
And shout out to T-shirt and jeans guy.
Mm-hmm.
I did not see it when we watched it, and it's been edited out since. Like, you can't go back and watch it now, but all over the internet, kind of hilarious.
You'll find them. Yep.
And but once they engage in the chase outside of the base, I thought that was some of the best action that's happened so far.
I think so. That was just really cool to watch. And isn't it nice the Razor Crest is all fixed up? And
well, Mando gets to show off his dogfighting skills. Yeah, that's awesome.
No, that was a very cool fight scene. That entire episode, I kept wondering, Gina Carano, if they were going to kill off Cara Dune,
right?
Because it was the height right before that of basically her Twitter thoughts and there are petitions to have her removed from the show.
Right, yeah.
And she had a whole lot of near misses in that episode. And I was just like, oh, no. Oh, maybe. So I was just like, I thought for sure they're going to kill off. I actually like that they didn't.
Yeah.
It seemed too easy.
It would have been kind of lame, I think.
Yeah. It's just like, we're going to have her do this cool fight scene just to kill her off.
I actually kind of thought they were going to kill off Carl Weathers. I don't know.
Okay, interesting. At the end, then you have, you do have a little bit with Cara Dune when you have, again, the X-Wing pilot.
Your Republic X-Wing pilot comes and tries to recruit her back to the Republic because, of course, she's a former Rebel soldier and they're trying to expand their influence to the outer reaches and the outer rim and stuff like that. So,
yeah. Interesting.
Maybe they should make a spinoff.
Maybe.
Show.
They only have a couple spinoffs planned.
Well, they are, yeah.
So then I was like, oh, well, maybe they're trying to get her a way to bow out of so many episodes, but she only shows up once in a while anyway.
Yeah.
So, we'll see what happens there. But the whole time I was expecting them to kill her off. Oh, and then, of course, at the end, you have a very cool moment where we get back to Moff Gideon and we get to see, oh, there's this huge story that we're back in again.
It's coming, yep.
And this is when Mando realizes that Gideon's still alive.
Yes, and because of the message that plays.
Yes,
and they do the big M count drop, which is the first time that they've mentioned midichlorians since episode one.
Oh,
like the Phantom Menace.
Really?
Yeah. They kind of brush that under the rug because
they're like, oh, that didn't go over well.
nobody really likes midichlorians. Well, they might have said it something in episode two as well. I'm not sure, but yeah.
Interesting.
And, like, I think midichlorians are kind of dumb, but you shouldn't just ignore it either.
You put it in there.
It's out there now, so
you can't pretend that it didn't happen.
At least play around with it somehow.
Yeah, and as this was done in a... We're acknowledging it. Yeah, okay, cool. Nice, I didn't realize that was... Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, chapter 13, called The Jedi, first of all. Director Dave Filoni.
Yes, well, so... They had, of course, the list of directors by episode when this came out, and there was all the rampant rumors that Ahsoka was going to be appearing in live action, Rosario Dawson has been cast, blah, blah, blah. I think this was brilliant misdirection, letting that quote-unquote leak to hide the other big surprises from this season.
That was so smart.
Excellent. But everyone...
Which we will get to.
Everyone kind of pegged this episode as being Ahsoka's episode. Yep. Before the title was released and all that. It was. This episode was awesome.
Yep.
I'm going to say that word a lot.
From chapter 13 through 16?
the whole intro showing Ahsoka, like, just tearing apart this base.
Oh, man.
I love it. It was shot like a horror movie.
Yep.
They had some cool, like, Sam Raimi-esque tracking shots. And, yeah, she's just, like... terrorizing these people, and Yeah, it was cool.
Picking them off. Well, I was going to say picking off one by one, but I think she picks off, like, dozens at a time, actually.
And then you move on to this whole, like, Kurosawa samurai movie style.
Totally. And it, I mean, it looks like a samurai movie, except instead of swords, it's lightsabers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, well, a lightsaber.
And, of course, George Lucas was, like, heavily influenced by samurai movies.
Basically, George Lucas married spaghetti westerns to samurai movies and put them in space and came up with Star Wars.
Yeah.
And we've seen a lot of Western stuff,
mm-hmm.
and here's your samurai movie influence.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
exactly.
I mean, you even have, like, the garden, and it's a whole thing.
Uh-huh.
Instead of a sword, he's got, like, Beskar steel spear, and it's basically a samurai movie.
Excellent.
Yep, really liked it. It answers a lot of questions about Baby Yoda.
Mm.
What do you think of his name? We gotta find out his name for the first time, which is Grogu.
Yes. That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm warming up to it.
Yeah.
I still call him Baby Yoda,
Baby Yoda's currently sitting on my lap, actually, and I'm wearing Baby Yoda ears. And you're wearing your Mandalorian spirit jersey while we're recording this.
Exactly. Got to get in the mood.
Yeah. But he's Baby Yoda. I call him Grogu probably more than I call him the child.
Oh, I barely ever call him the child unless it made complete sense.
Right. I actually like the bounty better.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's Baby Yoda, Grogu's okay.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka?
I thought she did a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the voice is not the same.
No.
So, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
People were complaining a little bit that her head tails weren't quite the same as the... But it's a cartoon and live action. They're different.
Yeah.
Count Dooku looks different in live action than he does in the cartoon as well. Like,
yeah.
Get over it. Whatever. I thought she did a good job and showed that kind of like she's got like some post-traumatic stress going on.
Holy. Yeah. So it's interesting because they kind of tried to set it up like maybe Grogu will stay with Ahsoka, but you can tell that is not going to happen. She's got, like you said, there's some PTSD.
She's got issues.
Do you blame her?
No, I really don't.
And I think she's a super interesting character.
And of course, we haven't seen Rebels, and she has a whole arc in there that we don't know about. But yeah, she's got issues.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Like, you get a great fight scene. You get a Jedi fight scene here for the first. Even I know she's not. She left the Jedi, or I know, but it was still a Jedi fight scene.
Yeah, she's got her lightsabers going. Yeah.
Of course, there was also a little bit of controversy about Rosario Dawson leading into this, but she had some charges and stuff against her and her family, but it looks like most, if not all of them, have been dropped. So there was a little bit of questions about that. However, Rosario Dawson, I thought, did really well. She has a couple moments of, like, she's a little cocky at some points.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we're watching Clone Wars, and so we could see, you know, those moments a little bit more. But there's a serenity and a maturity to her she has, and she fights that way. And and she gets some great moments with Baby Yoda, which was good.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 14, The Tragedy.
Good. So when this title card popped up, I remember you getting like super worried.
There was a reason. I was like, wait, it's called what? And then I was like, I don't want to watch it.
So you were concerned. I wasn't all that concerned. I mean,
because you're dead inside. How could you not be concerned about something called The Tragedy?
Yeah, but basically the whole purpose of this episode is Boba Fett, a redemption story.
Yeah.
He's no longer a lame Sarlacc snack. he comes back with a vengeance. And
does he ever?
Mando looks a bit silly, but Boba saves the day and then some.
Mando looks silly, but he looks silly in a better way than Boba Fett looked silly in the movies.
Yes, he didn't get knocked out by any blind guys. No.
He gets knocked out again and again, but by like a super powerful force bubble thing around Baby Yoda. And the fact that he doesn't give up, I mean, he gets knocked out, and then he gets up and he keeps trying and trying and trying. It says more about his character and his connection than his fighting style. He's like, even though the thing he is good at is fighting, he puts all of it aside for his connection with Baby Yoda.
Right.
And meanwhile, Boba Fett's like, that's cool. I'll handle this. Then you do that.
I got this.
I got this. And oh man, does he come back with a vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you get him pre-armor, just whacking away with his his Tusken Raider stick.
Yep.
Gaffy stick. Mm-hmm. And then he gets his armor back and he goes to town.
Yep. And what I liked about this, well, I actually like Fennec a lot. She comes back
with
him.
She does quite well as well.
Yep. She kind of kicks butt. Mm-hmm. She kicks Siri's butt. And I like that there was this little moment in season one when you see that, first of all, in one of the offshoot episodes where we meet her and she seems to die, and then you hear the jingle jangle spurs kind of sounds at the end. And then we haven't gone near it since then.
Mm-hmm.
Until now,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You get the mystical elements of the Force kind of thing coming there more. Big fight scene, which was pretty awesome. And then the end happens.
Yeah, so turns out the tragedy, you were worried about poor little Grogu, Baby Yoda, but no, the Razor Crest is blown to smithereens.
Razor Crest goes bye-bye. It's not going to get fixed after this.
No.
It keeps getting patched together.
No.
It's not happening.
Yeah, there's no duct tape in the world that's going to put that one back together.
No. No.
The only thing that survives is the Beskar spear from the last episode. Everything else is completely gone.
Man, I wonder if that Beskar steel spear is at all going to be important later this season.
Probably.
I don't know. I think the tragedy also is Baby Yoda is taken away.
I wouldn't call that a tragedy.
It seemed very tragic to me.
I
literally gasped.
Gasp.
Yes. And was like, no.
No.
And then at the end, we get back to Cara Dune. And a connection where we're referencing the prisoner from season one again.
Right. So they're bringing in all these kind of like side questy episodes from the last one and saying, no, they maybe weren't as disconnected as you thought.
Yeah. So all you naysayers.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I really appreciate
and
that.
And I will say the introduction of the Dark Troopers was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. This is another video game throwback.
Okay.
And yeah, they looked cool and scary and they stole Baby Yoda, so
that was upsetting.
Hmm.
That was upsetting.
Yeah, not really tragic though.
I don't know.
The absolute utter destruction.
Yes, the Razor Crest
of his ship.
Yes,
it was his first love.
Yes,
he loves Baby Yoda now, but his ship was like part of him, and it blew up.
Yep,
it's gone.
Yep.
Yeah.
But we then get that Boba Fett and Fennec have like tied themselves now to Mando, saying, you know, we said we were going to look after him because that was the deal for him getting his armor back. And I have my armor back, but we didn't look after him. So off we go to rescue him now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which takes us, there's two episodes left at this point.
Yeah. This season went by so fast.
So fast. And a year that time was immaterial.
Mm-hmm. It was nice having something to watch every Friday, and I'm looking forward to that being the case
for the foreseeable future, which is funny because I like binging shows.
I do like binging shows,
but it is nice to have
Mm-hmm.
Okay, chapter 15 is called The Believer. This is, remember director Rick that I can never pronounce his last name from the first season?
Yes.
He's back. And this is the very first episode with no Baby Yoda. What did you think?
Oh, it was cool. They do a lot of world building in this one. You kind of see how that Imperial remnant is existing and what they're dealing with. They've got some locals not really liking what they're doing. And you got a bunch of talk about Operation Cinder, which was kind of this pre-event that happened before the sequel movies, kind of describing what happened to the Empire after Palpatine's supposed death.
Mm-hmm.
References to that was pretty cool. And of course you brought back the character from The Prisoner,
Miggs Mayfield.
Yes.
Yeah,
and that was nice, and he's cool, and
man was he cool.
Yeah,
he had some literally laugh out loud moments.
Yeah, hilarious. Yeah.
And then really intense like emotional impact that of course he downplays, which makes it so much more effective.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I thought he was great. We're on Slave One now, because Razor Crest went bye-bye.
Yes. And this is as close as you've been to Slave One since Attack of the Clones.
Yes.
And you got to see how it kind of rotates on the inside. I thought that was
that
super
was cool. Yeah, I like the group that we have in this one. You have Miggs Mayfield, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But you have Cara Dune, you have Fennec, you have Boba Fett, and of course you have Mando.
And they're all gray area people.
Exactly. Every single one of them. And I have a couple of lines that I actually wrote down that I was like, man, this is basically what this character was here to say and do, right? Mm-hmm. He says, somewhere, someone in this galaxy is ruling and others are being ruled. And that's basically, you know, was referenced earlier about this, like, dubious area. You get the big political sphere that's going on when you have, like, hey, there's everyday average citizens that are actually being affected. But then his big one that seems to come again and again is this idea of everybody's got their lines they don't cross until things get messy. And all of these characters... They have different lines, and they...
They cross some lines. Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah.
Then, of course, the big moment here, Mando crosses his lines. The only way to get the information they need is to do a facial scan, but it doesn't need to be recognition. It just needs to be like you're a human getting this information or a person getting this information. Yeah. Like, it's weird.
Just blocking out droids or something? I don't know. It was kind of weird, because you got your... You got the stick that has the codes that give you access, but I guess they just don't want droids breaking in.
Yeah, maybe we're anti-droid.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, so they're going to do a scan, and of course Boba Fett's like, they might recognize my face, so can't do that. Of course, because it's clones.
That face was pretty common.
Pretty common, yeah. And, you know, Cara Dune would be on list, Fennec would be on list. So basically, they have Miggs Mayfield and... Mando's going to take him with him, but Miggs can't do it then at the last minute because he recognizes someone.
His former commanding officer.
So then Mando's like, the only way to get Baby Yoda back to take off his helmet.
Mm-hmm.
So he does.
Well, and before that, he makes the decision to put on a different helmet, which is kind of a gray area as well. So
it's not his helmet. It's his. So, and then in season one, when Cara Dune first meets him, he says, have you ever taken it? What happens if you take it off? He says, I can never put it back on again. It doesn't quite work that way. He puts it back on again.
Exactly.
What do you think about the action and things like that in this one? Because it was very different. Like, you get the pirate scene, you get this, of course, this troopers, and yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was fairly Western. When they're in the transport, it's kind of like a train / stagecoach heist.
I got very train esque, definitely.
So that's fun. Some Slave One action with the TIE fighters.
Thought that was cool.
Super cool. The charge he drops is a throwback to Jango's battle with Obi-Wan.
Oh, nice! Yeah,
in the prequel movies.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Fennec and Cara Dune kind of working together, just pick off everyone one by one. I thought that was fun. I think the, actually the most intense moment is that, like, super tense buildup in, like, the mess hall, officer mess hall.
Yeah, they're in the officer mess and
Operation Cinder.
Cinder. And they're having drinks, and it felt almost Tarantino-esque.
Right?
With all just the tension, like, and...
It's amping, and you're like, someone's gonna... Yes.
And then it ended very Tarantino-esque. Yeah, okay.
Oh, man, yeah, exactly. Then there was lots of shooting.
Lots of shooting.
Probably what I think might be the most badass moment of the whole show so far was at the very end of that episode.
Okay.
Mando's recital to Gideon. Moff Gideon.
Ah.
In the second last episode of season one, Moff Gideon has this whole thing about, like, you don't know what it means to me and things like that. Mando, word for word almost, except he replaces it with he because he sees Baby Yoda as an individual and as a connection. It's not just like a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
Word for word the same. It was quite the mic drop.
Maybe not the best tactically speaking. Maybe use some element of surprise. I don't know.
Maybe. But I really like that dramatic emphasis there. It might be a little cheesy, but I really liked it. I thought it was pretty good.
I like the random Office Space reference when he talks about TPS reports.
Oh, yes.
That's
right.
What I like. Yeah.
That's right. You did enjoy that.
Yes. I giggled. I giggled at that one.
Yeah.
But good episode.
Yep. And that left us with chapter 16, happily called The Rescue.
you were happy to see that title card.
Oh,
yes.
Before we get to chapter 16, question.
Yep.
Chapter 15 was called The Believer. Who's the believer?
There's all sorts of believers.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It depends what you believe and what you're believing in and all that. Yeah, no, there was all sorts of believers in that one.
I thought that one was... I like that name of that one.
It's a great title.
Yeah. Okay, so Chapter 16, The Rescue. I saw the title card. I was very happy.
Very happy, yeah. They had a lot of heavy lifting to do in this episode.
Oh, my God. I remember thinking, like, is this, like, going to be a four-hour episode? Like, what are they going to do?
Well, because, like, we let the previously on play before every episode just for fun. Mm-hmm. And they had a lot of stuff pulling from all sorts of things. And you're like, oh, you're going to tie all this together in 30 minutes or less.
Yeah,
wow.
It's Peyton Reed directed this one, mm-hmm. which is the same as the Frog Lady episode.
Yes.
So when you see all of the stuff they have to do and you see who's directing mm-hmm. it, I was nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
So I thought this was taking Star Wars in a very MCU type direction.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It felt very Marvel-esque.
All right.
But not in a bad way. Like, I love Marvel.
What felt Marvel-esque? Like, in what way?
Just the coming together of everything, the big fun action.
Yep.
And of course, the post-credit scene.
Yes, we had a post-credit scene, which was super exciting. Okay, let's get it.
But yeah, so you got Jon Favreau, who mm-hmm. like founded the MCU.
Right, yeah.
And you got Peyton Reed, one of the directors from the MCU.
Yeah.
And the action was super fun, like mm-hmm. the MCU. You had a girl squad moment.
Yep.
That was actually better than the one in Endgame, I think.
Well, it made more sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
It made more sense.
I enjoyed the girl moment, but I was like, there's no, like, why is.
Yeah. And then, of course, you have the big surprise of the season. They've had little surprises.
Uh-huh. How?
Yeah, I don't. How they kept this under wraps. There is all sorts of rampant speculation.
Yep.
You had the episode where Grogu is communing yep. with the Force, and they knew a Jedi's coming.
Yep.
There's a Jedi's going to come save the day here.
Right.
But there was all sorts of speculation. People thought maybe it would be the one from Rebels.
Right.
Ezra, I think his name mm-hmm. is. I don't know. Haven't seen it. Doesn't matter.
I know that is who Ahsoka ended Rebels going to go look for.
Right. And they were leaning very heavily into the cartoon worlds.
Yep. So that Clone would Wars. Make sense.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. people were thinking that there was some really random thought that it might be the one from the Jedi Knight games. Kyle Katarn, he started off as a Han Solo kind of stand-in.
Oh, cool.
And then he became Force sensitive, and then became a Jedi Knight. And,
okay.
And this was like an original trilogy timeline kind
right.
of thing.
Okay.
So people thought maybe they would kind of pull from that. That's where the Dark Troopers came from, actually.
Okay, so when you see the Dark Troopers, you know that's going to be a thing.
That was never going to happen. That's a way too deep a cut for
right.
for regular folk. But
Rebels makes sense, though.
Kind of makes.
They've been leaning heavily in the cartoon, like in Clone Wars
yep.
and Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it's Ahsoka who says, go do this.
Yeah.
I did hear someone say, well, it will be Ahsoka coming back. And I was like, no.
No, I don't.
And we knew that she's getting her own show.
Well, she's getting her own show, but why would she
send them away to come back?
Yeah. He wouldn't have needed to force commune to anyway.
Yeah.
The only thing that made logical sense, it's the most powerful Jedi, not that it's a long list, at that time, of course.
Right.
Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
And he has his absolute Jedi Master badass moment.
Oh, does he ever.
It of course evokes Vader's moment at the end of Rogue
mm-hmm.
One, where he goes on a rampage.
Yep.
Of course, Luke's rampage is against droids, so it's fine.
Yep, I wasn't an emotional sobbing wreck at that point, like I was in Rogue One when the rampage happened.
It was excellent. He shows off his lightsaber skills.
And he talk about making an entrance, first of all. You see the X-Wing, they're like, oh, one ship, wow, we're saved. And you're like, no, actually,
you're
fine.
Probably going to be
fine,
yeah. Yeah, and of course, they keep his hood down.
Yeah,
but
that cloak.
All you need to see is the green lightsaber and the hilt come out, and you know who it is. The little black glove, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's it.
It wasn't Michael Jackson.
No. Well, as soon as you saw the cloak, and, I mean, I didn't even pay attention to the hilt, I saw the glove, and I was like, okay. And right before this, you get Moff Gideon, like, goading, basically, Bo-Katan and Mando, because mm-hmm. by Mando defeating him, he took the Darksaber. And that means, like, he's like, I don't, like, you can have it. I don't care, to Bo-Katan. And then she's like, no, she has to defeat you. Which is interesting to me, because Bo-Katan is like, there's Mando stuff. Like, we don't care about the helmet thing, but we really care about this part. So, again, that tells you the lines that people are going to cross
right.
and not cross.
Yeah, that's a very interesting little side story. Mm-hmm. Some people think that Moff Gideon lost to Mando on purpose to drive this rift between them, have this problem. And one of the reasons that they think Bo-Katan is taking this so seriously is because she's trying to reunite these clans. So she needs this story, this myth of this Darksaber.
Right.
And if it comes out that it's not exactly what everyone purports it to be, it doesn't really work.
Talks to you about the importance of lore and storytelling in this culture, in the different cultures there. Mm-hmm. And right as that's coming, then of course you get the Dark Troopers. So you have this like, okay, we'll pause, put a pin in that, which of course sets up future stories, right? And you have this moment, everything seems really lost. And then, man, talk about a moment coming in, saving the day. I don't know why. I'm surprised they were able to keep this a secret. They kept Baby Yoda a secret. I don't know.
Yeah, but it is tough to keep a casting.
Yeah.
And, of course, Mark Hamill was all, I'm not playing Luke ever again. And they actually got him to come back.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And then I enjoyed him on Twitter after that. It was just, so anyone see anything good on TV lately?
just excellent. Some people complained about the CGI de-aging.
Oh, it was fine.
I'm like, get over it. It's about space wizards and stuff.
Yeah.
Just suspend disbelief.
Yeah.
It's young Luke. He looks just fine.
Yeah. And you know what? He doesn't, like, I've seen side by sides with him and after, say, like, I don't know, like episode 6 or something, like that would be the closest time period wise.
It's supposed to be 5 years after Return of the Jedi.
It's
so.
Not that far off.
Well,
and
no.
He's computer generated. Mm-hmm. So really just, you know, calm yourselves a little bit. Also, we got to see R2-D2.
Yes, we did. That was a nice little surprise as well.
Yeah.
I have some theories about that, actually.
Okay. All right. Do you want to share your theories now?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear it.
I do. I really do.
Okay.
So, R2-D2, he was around Anakin.
Yep.
He hung out with Anakin, of course. Grogu was in the Jedi Temple as a youngling. Anakin had a little field trip to the Jedi Temple with some younglings.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think that R2-D2 saved Grogu.
I totally agree.
And so they had just like some kind of recognition between the two.
Yeah, so I totally agree, because when Grogu, he's hesitant to go with Luke. First of all, he's like, it's because he doesn't want to leave Mando. And Luke says, you have to say it's okay. And so he does, and he's still like, they say their goodbye. Oh man, they say their goodbyes.
So Pedro Pascal gets to act more in 5 minutes than he has throughout the entire series.
Takes off his helmet, of course. Uh-huh. They have this whole thing. And then he, again, you know, there's a thing in Star Wars about daddy figures taking off their helmets here.
Yeah, that's true.
And then he puts him down and he still doesn't really want to leave. And he sees R2 and then he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I'm like, when else did R2 say, come with me, little Grogu?
Exactly. Yeah. And it makes sense where R2 was at that time and all that. Also, it would kind of explain Grogu's affinity for shiny metal objects.
Ah.
The little ball kind of looks like R2's head a little bit.
In his mind, metal is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So I think that's a good theory, and maybe we'll see that. Or maybe they'll just leave it out there. Who knows?
I like that. So, because R2 was, I know he was at the right time. Was he in the right place to be rescuing? That's cool.
Yeah, he was on Coruscant at that time.
At that moment.
Yeah.
Cool. And would he have gone, because he was hanging out with Anakin, would he have been at the temple at that point? Right. Okay. I like this theory, because we have to have Grogu escaping somehow.
Yeah, obviously.
They said he was at the Jedi Temple at that time. Pretty much Anakin, I don't think, was like, oh, wait, you're cute, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to escape, and I like R2 saving him.
Yeah.
I like your theory. It's a good theory.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, man, that was quite the goodbye between Mando and Grogu and...
Yes.
Baby Yoda goes with...
It was interesting because you have this, like, super emotional moment, but you're still reeling from the whole Luke rampage.
Yeah.
So that was a little tough, but...
Yeah, well, I guess that's what happened.
We'll take
it's a
it,
short
well,
episode.
When we watch it again, I'm going to kind of re-examine that.
Yeah. And I do want to watch it again, like, in the... Well, I know we'll watch it again before the next thing. So, and then, I happen to know there was an after credit scene, did you?
I didn't know.
I did.
I was just sitting there watching the blank credits.
With no artwork.
The first time that there was credits in The Mandalorian with no concept art.
Yeah.
And so I was just kind of like staring at it,
being like, this is different. Yeah, plus the intensity of the last
like,
moment.
Kind of dumbfounded and all that. And then it cuts to Jabba's palace.
Yep.
Yes.
And what is going on at Jabba's palace?
It evokes Return of the Jedi, because you see the stairs, the stairway down, and some people start dying.
Yeah. Very Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. And then you see the shadow of Boba Fett. Well, you see Fennec first, but you see the shadow of Boba Fett come down, and
he gets to make his entrance.
He gets to make his entrance, and you get a little cameo from Bib Fortuna.
Yep. A little short one.
A short one. He's been living high on the hog since Jabba.
Yeah, he's gained a little bit of weight.
trying to take over Jabba's eating habits, I guess.
I think so.
It's only been 5 years. That's
Sitting on that throne for 5 years.
Yeah, I guess. he doesn't last very long.
Nope.
And
it's a short cameo.
And it introduces the Book of Boba Fett.
Yes. Yep. He kills Bib Fortuna right away and settles himself in the throne. Yep. Coming December, the Book of Boba Fett.
Yes.
Which leads to a question.
Next December.
Yes. A year.
Uh-huh.
Which leads to a question.
Yep.
Which was the first question that was asked, is like, is season 3 the Book of Boba Fett?
Right.
Or is it season 3 and the Book of Boba Fett?
So they've since confirmed.
Yes.
It is a separate series. It is not clear on how long the series is going to be. I'm thinking it's going to be short.
Yes, I think so too. Like a little side story.
I'm guessing 4 to 6 episodes.
Okay, yeah, I would have guessed 6, so yeah.
And maybe even shorter. Maybe 3 episodes.
Interesting.
And I think it's going to come out at the beginning of December.
Yep.
And you're going to have that lead directly into season 3. That comes out on Christmas.
Yep. I think that makes sense with, because we did know that season 3 was going to be a later release instead of it coming out, you know, in late fall and then through December.
They previously said December, but there may have been some miscommunication. It wasn't officially announced or anything. It was like in an interview.
Right.
But yeah, they're going to finish, they're filming Boba Fett right now, and then they're going to jump right into filming season 3. So who knows how it's all going to work, but...
I like that they didn't announce it or make it clear right away. They let the internet freak out and talk for a bit first, and then they're like, oh, okay.
Free press for them.
Well, that's exactly right. Like,
it's just really smart.
Yeah, exactly. So that's pretty exciting. I think that makes sense, though. You know, do beginning of December, keep it really short, lead into that, especially with all of the other... We don't have a lot of Star Wars content coming out in 2021. We have a lot of Marvel content coming out in 2021, right?
Yes.
But then in 2022 is when we're looking at, is that when we have Obi-Wan or is that 2023?
Well, they haven't announced any actual release dates.
But anyway, we have
dates,
future for Ahsoka. We have Obi-Wan. We have much more Star Wars content. So it makes sense to me that they're going to be like, you know, leaning heavily into that as 2021 closes.
And it is interesting because there was, when Disney first bought it, they were going to make the new trilogy and then they're going to make all these spin-off Star Wars story movies like Han Solo.
Yeah. Rogue One.
The Solo prequel was the big one. And then they had an Obi-Wan movie rumored and they had a Boba Fett movie rumored. Well, they're turning these all into Disney Plus shows now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, and if they weren't going to do it before, I think 2020 has made it. They're going to do it now.
Yeah, I think that was kind of the plan.
Yeah. I just think the theater releases are going to look very different for the near future. Like, they still have some slated and things like that, but I just think...
Well, you're going to still have your big tent poles. Like, they are firmly not releasing Black Widow on Disney Plus.
Yes. Okay, so overall, happy with the season?
Absolutely.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Well, I already know what your least favorite is, but what was your least favorite episode?
Yeah, so it's going to be the Frog Lady with the space cave nopes. I do have a slight arachnophobia. They didn't twinge it or anything.
No,
like I wasn't.
They were too spacey.
They were too spacey and like too big. When they get kind of like big in CGI, it's not actually that scary.
Right.
But the episode was kind of boring. So.
Right. Even with the giant space nope.
Yeah.
Space cave nopes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Weakest episode. In a very strong season, so. Yeah.
I didn't think I was wasting my time watching it, but it was just by far the worst episode of the season.
Yeah.
But, like, not even close.
Right, yeah. I totally agree. And your favorite episode?
This was tough.
Yeah,
obviously.
I agree. Yeah.
There was a lot of very strong episodes. I was just like the first season, I was going back and forth between the first episode and the last episode. Mm-hmm. And I had to go with The Rescue.
Yeah.
The action was awesome. You got to see Bo-Katan and Fennec and Cara Dune kicking butt.
Yep. Which I really, really liked. Yep.
And you got to see Mando kicking butt. Well, he got his butt kicked and then he's kicking butt.
Yeah. Well, I like that better, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just that tenacity that he shows when he does that. And he's like, I'm going to keep doing this.
He's not the best fighter in the world. He's just really stubborn.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not a bad fighter, but he's not as good as some of the other ones on the show. And stubborn.
And I don't care if the Luke thing was fan service-y. I was very happy with it. Yep. So
talk about making an entrance. Man, I'm gonna be really boring. That was my favorite episode too. I know, as soon as you saw that black glove and the lightsaber, I was just like, man,
it was a great
shot. Was tough though, because when we were watching like the Jedi, I was like, this is gonna be my favorite. And then episode like the second last one, the Believer, I was like, oh no, this is gonna be my favorite. And like, there were some really good episodes this one, but how do you do that?
Okay, so we know you have trouble picking favorites.
Yeah, I'm
what was your second favorite then?
Okay, so for sure The Rescue being my favorite.
Yes.
Okay, actually, weirdly enough, I mean, Baby Yoda is definitely my favorite character.
Mm-hmm.
I would go with The Believer, actually. Even the one episode without Baby Yoda. But my favorite thing in stories is character development. I like a fun action character development, something that can blend the two. I think even with the intensity of the emotion in The Rescue, they were able to do that. I mean, I'm sorry, that goodbye made me cry. I know, everything makes me cry.
Yeah,
but in The Believer, it worked on a lot of levels, maybe because it set up The Rescue, but it was coming off of a high intense one, going into a high intense one. It had its intense moments itself, and I think that the character development done with these, like, the dubious morality in there was well done, but still in a interesting Star Wars world. I really like that one.
Excellent.
Even sans Baby Yoda. So your second favorite would then be the first episode.
Yes.
Totally fair. That one was really awesome.
I even though it was the most serialized, I really like seeing a crate dragon.
And they did so well with it. It was really cool CGI on that one. Yeah. I like that. And the Marshall's entrance when he comes in wearing Boba Fett's armor. And you're like, wait, that's not Boba Fett.
I loved how Boba Fett's armor looked on a different person.
Right?
It looked
totally
wrong.
Different.
And they made it look wrong.
Yeah.
And I also liked how it looked when he first put it back on and he was kind of chubby.
Yeah.
Fits a little different. After so many years,
but,
you know, I like that too. So
yeah, it makes it's more immersive in that world then.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course at the end of that first episode when you get to see actually Boba looking out and watching and stuff. Now that was a good episode. Good season.
Yeah, excellent
good season. Yeah, looking forward to Book of Boba Fett. I guess will be first, right?
Yes, I think that's the next Star Wars content we're getting. Yeah.
I think it's tough though, because like I said, now we have Mando and Baby Yoda split up. So you're like, how much more are we going to see of Baby Yoda now that he's with Luke and with R2 and things like that, right? But Disney is not going to be like, you know what? I don't want to make any more money off Baby Yoda. Like, they're going to keep him around.
Oh yeah.
I just think we might not see him all the time or as often.
Who knows? Who knows what they're going to do? I don't know.
I know. Oh, crazy. All right. Anything else to add for Mandalorian Season 2?
I'm just really happy it exists.
I keep seeing this thing. And it's like people who watch the sequel trilogies being like, well, you can't make new Star Wars fans and nostalgic Star Wars fans happy. And Jon Favreau is just like, hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Oh, man. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
So, okay. I will say one thing.
Okay.
We went into like a deep theory with R2-D2.
Yep.
I'm going to go with a deeper theory.
Okay.
Vince Vaughn saves Star Wars.
What?
Okay, follow me here. We just watched the documentary on Elf.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Jon Favreau's directorial debut was Elf.
Yes.
The only reason Jon Favreau was hired is because Vince Vaughn convinced the studio that he could direct. Like, Jon Favreau was an actor before this. Never directed anything.
I don't remember how Vince Vaughn was involved. Okay.
Well, they talked about it. Mm-hmm. It was like on the set of Old School.
Oh, right. Okay.
Which
I thought it was Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell. Yeah, no, Will Ferrell was in Old School, but he was an SNL guy, not a big star. Didn't have a lot of pull.
Yeah.
Vince Vaughn had a lot more pull.
Right.
And yeah, they convinced the studio that Jon Favreau could direct this, and of course, Elf became a big hit.
Right. Yeah.
And Jon Favreau became a massive director. Started the MCU,
yeah,
and now
save Star Wars.
Yeah. So thank you, Vince Vaughn,
for saving Star Wars.
Yes,
and giving us the MCU.
Yeah,
man, he's a good guy.
Good guy, yeah.
Okay, I like it. I like your theory. Should we call this episode "Vince Vaughn Saves Star Wars"?
Sure. That might be a little bit of a strange title, but
that's why I like it. Okay, you ready to move on to trivia?
Yes.
Okay. So last episode, we were talking Christmas movies, and I asked you some trivia.
Yep.
For question number one, we were talking Beauty and the Beast and the Enchanted Christmas. Tim Curry voices a character. I asked the name of the character. This is what you said.
I don't know.
Make a guess.
Frank.
Yeah, that wasn't it. It wasn't Frank.
I will say it did come back to me later.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Sort of. Anyway, kinda. But yeah, no, I think Frank was a good answer.
Yeah, no, that was different. That was a different movie. Mm. His name is Forte.
Yes.
Yeah, and you did remember something similar to that.
Well, I had to think about it, and I was like, oh yeah, he was like a big organ.
Yeah.
And
I don't remember what you guessed, but you said like
I said Fortissimo.
Oh yes,
which
that's
would
right.
it be his
yeah,
full name?
Exactly.
Yes.
That's probably
but
it.
Anyway,
that was later.
I didn't say that on the episode, so
nope.
It doesn't count.
Number two, what happens to the Christmas letter in the movie Winnie the Pooh Year, A Very Merry Pooh Year? This is what you said.
Let's say it gets blown away into the 100-acre wood, never to be seen again.
Oh, yeah, you were right on this one.
Yeah.
The wind blows it away.
Well, we live in a very windy place, so...
You just assume the wind wrecks everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And number three, who is collecting from the poor in Mickey's Christmas Carol?
Jim and Steve.
I picked these because these are two awesome, awesome characters. Names. They are were originally in The Wind in the Willows, like Mr. Toad's friends.
Yep.
Ratty and Moly, who are a rat and a mole.
Yeah, very creative back then. Great.
I honestly thought you were just going to randomly guess it right, like because that's how we name animals that we don't see. We're like, oh, it's Barry the Bear. And
yeah. I should have guessed
yeah,
that one.
That's, I just thought you were going to randomly guess. Well, it was a rat and mole, so I don't know, Ratty and Moly?
Terrible.
Yeah,
terrible.
It's fantastic. I loved it. Okay, your turn.
Oh, goody.
Mm-hmm. Be nice. I do not know the deep Star Wars stuff.
So, yeah, we talked all about Mando today.
Yes,
so we're going to have some Mandalorian-themed trivia.
Oh, no. Okay.
So there was a couple of special surprises in this season.
Mm-hmm.
The big one being Luke Skywalker's return.
Yes.
Return of the Jedi. Oh, no, wait, that's
no,
a movie.
No, it was a different thing. Return of the Jedi. Returned.
But Luke's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
He's been the main character of Star Wars since it was a little idea in George Lucas's head.
Mm-hmm.
But in the original drafts of Star Wars...
Uh-huh.
What was his name? It wasn't Luke Skywalker.
Like, why do I think I've heard this before?
Probably because you have.
Oh. Have you told me?
Probably.
It was either something, like, super bland, like Joe Smith, or it was something, like, really, like, cheesy, like, Han Solo is supposed to be like he works by himself, so his last name is Solo. You know what I mean? Like, so maybe like his name actually being like Hero or something like that. You know what I'm? Yeah, I'm gonna do that. Let's pretend that it is like a funny thing happened on the way to the forum, where the guy's name is Hero, and we'll pretend his name is Hero.
Okay.
Okay. It's not, but I will. But he liked to name things stupidly, so at least I'm tying it to something.
Yeah, Lucas is not great with
no.
names.
No.
Okay, so...
Like Hero Spaceman.
Excellent. Okay, let's go with question two.
Okay.
Another returning character
uh-huh.
from the original trilogy,
uh-huh.
Boba Fett.
Yes. No, don't ask me his original name.
No!
Okay.
In his appearances in the original trilogy, yes. in Empire
yes.
and Return of the Jedi,
yes.
when he becomes Sarlacc Snack, he's got a little decoration on his armor, on his shoulder. There's some braids.
Uh-huh.
What are those braids purported to be made out of in-universe, not the prop design? What are they supposed to be?
Like
little trophies on his armor.
Well, I was going to say, wouldn't they be trophies of, like, things he's killed? Like,
yeah.
Oh, like, I have to be specific
yeah.
as to what the, ah, what has braids that, I don't even remember what the braids looked like. That would probably help me trying to think of in-universe things that had braids that looked like that. I have really idea. I can't think of any braided haired creatures right now.
What's the hairiest Star Wars creature you could possibly think of?
Are they braided Wookiee hair? Aw, don't kill Wookiees. They'll rip your arms off.
Well, they were setting him up as this hardcore...
Yeah, until he got, villain. Tapped on the head and felt... Anyway.
Setting him up. I didn't say they followed
yeah.
through.
fine. So Wookiee hair.
Wookiee hair?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Mm. So, with Luke coming back, mm-hmm. Mark Hamill reprised his role.
Yes.
His most famous role as Luke
yes.
Skywalker with the de-aging process.
Yes.
What is Mark Hamill's other most famous role?
Joker. He voices the Joker in Batman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like the series. Yeah.
The series.
Like the cartoon. Yeah, he does the voice of Joker. Yep. Yes. Do you like how I'm like...
Final answer?
Yep.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm 100% right, but yes. I'm saying with confidence.
Excellent.
Better than Hero Spaceman.
Hero Spaceman, yeah. We'll have to go to the books and see if that one's right.
It's not. Okay. Oh, boy, that was rough. So, if you want to make fun of my Hero Spaceman guess... Brandon is looking at me right now, trying really hard not to just laugh and shake his head.
I'm going to drink more mimosas now.
So if you feel free to contact us on social media or via our website. We have our email and everything on there. And that brings us to the end of our show for today. So thanks to El Mule, who's responsible for our custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website at disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. And you can also find us on social media. Instagram at disneya.podcast. Facebook at Disney A, and Twitter at Disney A Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Unless, of course, you are just going to make fun of me, in which case...
Yep. Just email me,
just
then.
Just show Brandon.
And I'll frame it.
And then forward it to me anyway. And you can have your guesses in there as well. You can also find Disney A episodes on all of your favorite streaming platforms like Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, basically all of them. Please review our podcast, subscribe, and if you know someone who might like this podcast, be sure to recommend Disney A to them. We're trying to expand our reach, so that would help us out a lot. We have a lot of great stuff planned for 2021 episodes. If you join us next week and every Monday, you can hear some of them. So until next time, I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
So until the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A.